In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes you and I, we get these ideas in our head, and we think they're true, but it's just because they've been repeated to us so often, and we find out later on they're really not true. So there's all kinds of examples of this. One very common one is the thing about if you go outside in the cold, you're going to catch a cold if you're not dressed up enough. And by now we've been told enough that, well, it's not really actually true, right? A cold is a virus, and it's not everything your grandma always told you. These popular ideas, though, they really kind of stick in our mind, even when they're not true. I'll give you one more example. We would always laugh with my grandma. She's in heaven now, but she always had this big thing about pastors could never have an earring. And that was just a huge deal for her. And it was like this God-given rule that it was like a sin for a pastor to have an earring. And well, lo and behold, the last pastor before she went to heaven, guess what, had an earring. And she came to find out that, oh, maybe there actually is nothing sinful or wrong about it, and she loved that pastor very much. But these things kind of get stuck in our head, you know, they're passed down or whatever, and we think they've just got to be true. Well, I bring all this up because there's one in particular that really does, as Christians, we fall prey to this, and it's just not true. And this is the idea that if a prayer is really good, it will be spontaneous. And we really, as Christians, just have bought into this, that if I'm going to give a genuine, heartfelt prayer, it has to be off the cuff. It should just come straight from my heart. And it's just not true. Now, obviously, with every lie, there's often truth in it. So there are very much times where a prayer that you speak right from the heart is more appropriate and better. You know, personally as a pastor, I don't use, like if I'm at a hospital bed, I don't use a prayer that I read. That's a time where I think it's better for me to say one, you know, just come up with one spontaneously. But that's not to say that prayers that are read or written down are somehow not as good. And actually, I want to try to flip your thinking a little bit this morning and realize that actually some prayers are better than other prayers. Now, of course, in God's eyes, all prayers are good and worthy, and we realize that. Any prayer that you speak to God in faith is a good prayer. But we also realize that some prayers are just better than others. They speak better, they have a better intention in them, and so often these prayers that are better than others are prayers that have been written down and have been handed down over the years. So you all know the very best prayer is what? The Lord's Prayer. And that was, of course, given to us. When we're young, we read it. Now, of course, eventually we memorize it. But it's not a prayer we're coming up with just from our heart. It's a prayer we know from memory. So there are lots of prayers like this. Prayers are kind of like songs. The best prayers, just like the best songs, are those often that stand that test of time and are handed down from generation to generation. So, we in the church, these exceptional prayers that have stood over the years, we call them the collects. And the word is so simple, right? We still have that word in English. Collect. You're collecting things. So in the collect, we're collecting all of us together and all of our prayers together into one prayer. And in the early church, that's actually what they did. They would all gather at the outside of the church. They would gather and collect together this prayer before they went in together to the church. Now, ours has changed a little bit, but the idea still is, and I'm not always good at it, and I tried to do it this morning because I knew I'd be talking about this. The idea is that when the pastor invites you, let us pray, there should be a time of silence where you actually bring your prayers. And then, after that time of silence, all these prayers are figuratively collected together into one prayer that is a good prayer that's been handed down through the ages. So our prayer today, grant to us, Lord, the Spirit to think and do always such things as are right. That prayer is over 1,500 years old. That's really incredible. There were these books written in the early church. They were called sacramentaries. And there's one that's called the Leonine Sacramentary. It's named after Pope Leo I. But anyway, this is in the 5th century. So these prayers, this prayer came out of that book. It's at least 1,500 years old. And you look at some of our colics, and you'll notice they're very simple. And yet the wording is often it has a very much a beauty to it. So like if you ask me to say a prayer right now, so, you know, Pastor, would you pray for me? I can rattle you off a prayer very easily. But I can't rattle off a prayer like this. This takes time. You play with the words. You think about what you're saying. And these prayers, like I said, are prayers that are just better than others. So what our colic this morning, as you heard, grant to us, Lord, the Spirit to think and do always such things as are right, that we, who without you are not able to do anything that is good, but that we, by you, may live according to your will. So this is the prayer I want to talk to you about this morning. And the reason I'm doing it is because this colic brings all of our scripture readings together. You know, sometimes when you might come to church and you hear the scripture readings and maybe you are having a hard time paying attention or whatever, and you say, what were those scripture readings about? Well, one place you can go is the colic. It'll tell you what they're about. And that's what our colic does today. It says, grant us the Spirit to think and do always such things as are right. Well, why do we need to do that? Why do we need to think and do always such things as are right? Well, because of what Jesus said this morning. He said, beware of what? False prophets. The exact thing Jesus is warning us about is what we're praying will not happen. Now, that prayer, grant us, Lord, to think and do always such things as are right, it presupposes that you and I might actually think or do something wrong. And that's kind of not always accepted in our current culture, right? That's not too postmodern like we're supposed to be. That I might actually think or do something that is wrong. Jesus realizes that. He says, you're going to have people that come in sheep's clothing. And they're going to tell you things, and it's going to sound good, and you're going to like it, and it's going to make sense to you, but inwardly their teaching is deadly poison. We don't want that. So, Lord, grant to us to think and do such things as are always right. So where would this be today? Where do you see today false prophets or false preachers attacking God's Word? I can give you all kinds of examples. They start right at the beginning of the Bible, creation, first few chapters, right? Creation, evolution. And of course, evolution is this wolf in sheep's clothing. It sounds good. It sounds like it makes sense. And even if you hear scientists talk about evolution, they'll talk about it as this beautiful thing. You know, it took all these millions and billions of years, and, you know, it was this beautiful thing evolving over time. But is it really all that beautiful? Evolution is a wolf in a sheep's clothing. It's not beautiful. It's death. It's survival of the fittest. Those who are the weakest, they die. That's not the gospel. That's not God. God takes care of the weakest. And we let this in, right? This wolf in sheep's clothing. And all of a sudden, the first few chapters, it's destroyed our trust in God's word. Jesus says, beware. And so we pray, grant to us, Lord, to think and do always such things as are right. Or how about this one? You hear this one a lot, that the Bible is anti-women. Christians are, we follow this patriarchal book, you know, chauvinistic, all this stuff. And that can really be a wolf in sheep's clothing, get Christians really feeling like, oh, I should be ashamed of my Bible because it's this, you know, bigotry book. It's full of bigotry and, you know, it's anti-women, all these things. But just think about that. How can God, who made woman, be anti-women? It makes no sense at all. How can God, who wanted his son to be born of a virgin, Joseph had nothing to do with anything. It was all Mary. How could God, who all through the Bible was calling women to serve him in all kinds of different ways, how could he be anti-women? But you see, of course, what happens here, right? We hear these things and it sounds, oh yeah, the Bible does seem like it's kind of puts women down. And all of a sudden, here comes the wolf in sheep's clothing. Grant us, Lord, to think and do such things as are right. Or the way you and I do this We simply just change Scripture's teaching. A big example you all know about, because I've talked about it before, is the whole deal of living together before you're married. And it's, again, this is one of those that sounds so good. Well, why would we be opposed to that? Right? They can try it out for a while, see if their marriage is going to work, right? Get used to each other. It might help them to avoid getting divorced later. All this stuff that kind of makes sense to us, but the trouble is it's just not true. And God has told us in His Word that it's wrong. And that's why we have to pray, grant us, Lord, to think and do such things as are right. You start to see why a prayer like this, why they've been praying it, the church has been praying it for 1,500 years, because we're constantly preaching to ourselves and being preached to things that are wrong. And they all sound so good. We've got all the slogans today. Just love everyone, right? Just love is all we need. That sounds so good, right? But of course it doesn't work, right? Love, yes, we love everyone, but love in that way doesn't mean we just excuse everything. Or the whole thing of diversity, that diversity is good and we should all, everybody accept each other's truth. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. They're wrong. Now, all of that sounds really negative, so I apologize. But why does any of this matter? It actually is really important. And almost every one of the collects, when you hear us pray the collect, there's this middle part, it's one word in Latin, but it just means so that something will happen. So in our prayer today, grant, Lord, that we may always think and do such things as are right, so that, what? That we may be enabled to live according to your will. And here's where why this is important. Jesus in the gospel reading says something that's kind of scary to us. He says that when some people come to the gate of heaven, to the entrance to the kingdom of heaven, they're going to say to him, Lord, 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 we did this for you, Lord, we did that for you, and he's going to say to them, I don't know who you are. Depart from me. And that is absolutely terrifying. And that's why we are praying that we may be enabled to do the Lord's will. Now, the question is, what is the Lord's will? Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So what is God's will? Now, you all know, what is God's will? Jesus says, the will of him who sent me is that everyone who believes on the Son should have eternal life. God's will is that you believe in Jesus. And see how our one little prayer today that we might have just not even paid attention to has now taught us the entire lesson. Lord, grant us to think and do things that are right. Help us not to pay attention to false preachers, to false slogans in the world, to false things that we preach to ourselves, so that we may be enabled to believe in Jesus and have life everlasting in heaven. That's why this is important. Now, there's one more little phrase in there I haven't done yet. In our prayer it says, so that we who cannot do anything that is good without you. That's another key point. We need God's help. We can't do good without Him. False preachers and false teachers will always point you back to yourself. You can do it, right? And that what you're thinking is right and put your needs first. But God is always directing us outside. The true gospel is directing us always to Jesus. There's nothing left for us to do. Just simply believe in the one who has given himself for us on the cross. So this then is your prayer all week. Grant to me, Lord, your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that I will think and do always such things as are right. That I, who cannot do anything good without you, that I may be enabled to live according to your will. So I would ask you all, if you would bear with me, to take out your insert and your collect, and we are going to pray it together one more time. Let us pray. Grant to us, Lord, the Spirit to think and do always such things as are right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without you, may be enabled by you to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.